Please turn, if you will, to John chapter 16. And we're simply going to be looking at, excuse me, just a few verses. We're going to go from 12 to 15. A lot of meat here. And so I've entitled our message this morning, Wind Beneath My Wings. And I've broken our verses into two sections, the Holy Savior's sympathy and the Holy Spirit's service. But before we start, I feel like we need to pray again, and we need to get our hearts in and our minds and our spirits tuned in. So let's pray again. Father, we thank you once again for your word. May it come alive this morning. May the distractions and all this stuff, Lord, it means nothing. We have your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us. We have your love and mercy that draws us. And Lord, most of all, we have the cross and the blood of Christ that saves us. So this morning, just open our minds and our ears that we might be able to hear and receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. We're going to read our verses and then we'll rewind and we'll begin to pick them apart. He says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, those are our verses, and you might be wondering, okay, why are you calling it Wind Beneath My Wings? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, now this is after Christ has gone to the cross, and he has now appeared, he is appearing to many of the disciples in his glorified body. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And that's what he's referring to, this moment right here, where he says, listen, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But listen, wait, it is coming. It'll be here momentarily, but don't be impatient. So he says, wait on the Lord, and wait for what? Wait for that gift. And what is the gift? The Holy Spirit. Now, I would like to couple this with a really cool scripture that you should have underlined in your Bible, and that's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Listen to this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So here's the point. In order for you and I to mount up on wings like eagles, we have to have the wind to allow us to fly. And that wind that moves us, that allows us to soar, allows us to fly, is the Holy Spirit. And he says here in Isaiah, wait, those who wait on the Lord will have their strength renewed. How awesome is that? And Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the gift. So brothers and sisters, it is important that we get saved and we receive all of the Holy Spirit at salvation. However, the Holy Spirit is also he who equips us to bear fruit, and we are to bear fruit. What's interesting is one brother came up to me during worship, and he goes, we were talking at men's study on Saturday about the Trinity. He goes, I found the Trinity. I go, good for you. That's awesome. He found the Trinity. He says, God is the tree, and Jesus is the branch, and the Holy Spirit is the fruit. I go, right on, brother. That's absolutely right. And so we want to be connected to the tree. We want to be the vines of the branch, and we need to bear fruit. So we need the Father, we need the Son, and most importantly, at this point in our walk, we need the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see why. But now, in order for us to grasp our scriptures here this morning, we must rewind a little bit. So if you would, stay right there, John 16, but go back to verse 7. And we kind of touched on this briefly last week, and I want to just touch on it again briefly and draw it out for you. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, first of all, when we hear Jesus say, I tell you the truth, it doesn't really have the impact sometimes that it should. Why? Well, because first of all, we hear politicians all the time, especially in an election year, telling us, I tell you the truth, I will not cut taxes. And the first thing they do is cut taxes, right? I tell you, or whatever, I'm not a politician, whatever they say, I'm going to make things better. Have hope in me. thank God I'm not a politician. Anyways, they say all that political jargon and we take it for granted, and yet they're supposed to be the authorities. Jesus is going to tell us things that are very important. And the other problem we have, besides the fact that we have politicians that tell us stuff and they don't, we ourselves use wording that don't mean what they say. Let me give you an example. Here's some examples of how our wording doesn't quite line up. First of all, why do we call the third hand on a clock the second hand? Why do we say something is out of whack? Well, what is whack and where can we get some more? Why does slow down and slow up mean the same thing? How come fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Why do tugboats push their barges? Why do we sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game when we're already there? Why are they called stands when we sit in them? Why is it called after dark? Shouldn't it be after light? Doesn't expecting the unexpected make the unexpected expected? That hurt, didn't it? Stop it, Pastor Randy. Okay, why is a wise guy and a wise man opposite? Why do overlook and oversee mean the same thing? And here you go. If all the world is a stage, where is the audience supposed to sit? So we say things, we use wording, we don't always express ourselves in a way that is plain and clear. However, when God, who is the Word, when Jesus, who is the Word incarnate, when He is truth, when He is the creator of vocabulary and communication, when He speaks, know this, He says what He means, and He means what He says. So He says in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It's our advantage. Now, normally when someone passes away, we don't feel like it's an advantage for us. It's a hurt. It's a difficulty. But Jesus says, no. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, remember last week I told you, notice here He says, I send Him to you, and then He will judge the world. And just like God used Jesus in the flesh, that flesh which we call Jesus, in order to bring us to a point of conviction, in order to bring us to a point of salvation, God used the incarnate. He used Jesus as an example in the world. He, the Holy Spirit, wants to use you to express truth in order for others to be convicted. But so often, that's the thing we don't want to do. We don't want to be the one who calls someone on the carpet for their sin. It doesn't feel good. It's never fun. Let me tell you, the people who think it's fun to convict people of sin are those who are self-righteous, and that's not good either. You know, I used to be an entertainer. And actually, I used to do an Elvis impersonation, whatever. But what was funny is, you go to an Elvis convention, and there's like 500 of these guys, all in bell bottoms and high collars and big old pork chops on their face, and big old pie pan belt buckle, jewelry all over, and they're all walking around saying, there'll never be another one like him. It's like, you're all like him. What are you talking about? But the sad part is, even the really good Elvis impersonators, they pale in comparison. There's always something missing. There's a, even if they sound really just like him, anyways, and have the moves and everything, there's always something missing. And as simplistic as that example is, imagine when someone walks around trying to be a Holy Spirit impersonator. No one does the Holy Spirit like the Holy Spirit. Okay, there will never be another one like him. And the thing is what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to yield ourselves to his Spirit and allow him to flow through us, not pretend to be him. We can't. There are times, brothers and sisters, I must admit, as much as I enjoyed being an entertainer, an Elvis impersonator, sometimes I catch myself trying to be a Holy Spirit impersonator, and I stink at it. I'm not very good. I don't sound like him. I don't look like him. I don't move like him. But when I yield my will to his will, he flows through me. It's him, not I. He can flow through you when you yield to him. When you let him move, and then the conviction that comes upon your brothers and sisters is a conviction that flows from love, not from condemnation. Huge difference. And we talked a little bit about that last week. He says here that he is going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Right? These concepts are encapsulated within who was and is to come. Of sin, that's all your past sins up until present. He is our justifier. Who is, that is your present walk and what you're doing. That's your righteousness, his righteousness if it flows through you. You and I have no righteousness. Zero, zilch, nada, nothing. You get it? We have none. We have his. He imparts it to us. That's the God who is. He justifies us. And is to come, that's speaking of our destiny, our future, that he can see us glorified one day. Because he's our prophet, past. He's our priest, present. And he is our coming king, who was and is to come. Of sin, past, righteousness, present, judgment, which is to come. And so he lays his foundation for us, moving in to verse 12, the Holy Savior's sympathy. And here's what he says in verse 12, our verse this morning. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I was like, what you talking about? Well, if you have children, if you've ever raised children, there are certain things that are difficult to explain to a child. Like when your child comes up to you and say, hey, little Jimmy says his daddy is Santa. You know, depending on the age, you may want to let the cat out of the bag. Or you just may say, no, that's not the case. His daddy's just playing with him. Or even more intense, when a little kid, when your children come up to you and say, daddy, where do babies come from? Well, there's a stork. Because there's a certain age that you don't want to tell them because it'll blow their minds. They just can't comprehend that. But at the same time, you don't want to wait too long to where they hear about where babies come from and they have a wrong picture of what's supposed to happen. There's nothing more unsettling. One thing is for a child to come and say, where do babies come from? And another thing for that child to come home and say, I was talking to Jimmy and Donnie, and they said that babies come from, were they joking? Is that for real? That's kind of, it wasn't quite time. So there's a proper time. And of course, each person, each child is dealt with on their own merits. You can't just broad soak and say, 7 years old, that's when, 5 years old. Every child is different. But know this, Jesus is not speaking about physical maturity. Because there are some physically mature people who are spiritually immature. And there are some physically immature people who are spiritually mature. Give you an example. Paul talks about this, and it's one of his frustrations with the Corinthian church. Now, you got to understand, this Corinthian church, when he's talking to 1 Corinthians, this church was gifted. They had all the gifts in operation, teaching, tongues, healings. I mean, they were on fire. But listen to what he said, because they got caught up in legalism, and it's like they regressed. Here's what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal," meaning fleshly, not spiritually, "as babes in Christ." That's not attractive women. That means babes, that kind of babe. "As babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strifes, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Listen, there is a spirituality, a maturity that's supposed to come naturally when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Understand this, it's a choice. You can choose not to be mature or to be mature. Just like I can choose to run around the parking lot drooling and screaming and babbling, which I do when y'all aren't here, or I can be an adult and act properly, and maybe once in a while I may do that. But it's a choice. It's a willful choice. I can watch two people get saved at the exact same time, same day, hearing the same message, and come back a year later, and the two of them are on two different levels. Why? Well, one decided to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, and the other decided not to. The other decided to do Christ, to do church, to do Bible, to do spirituality their way. It was funny, I was talking with someone recently, and I was talking to them about where their walk was. When I spoke to them, right away they were convicted. "Well, I know I should go to church more, but I do Christianity my way." I was like, "Whoo! You need some milk, brother. You are not ready for meat." And so there's a spiritual maturity. Look at this. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Look at the choice. Here's speaking of that choice of wanting to be mature. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer..." See, he's urging you because you have a choice. You can make a decision. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Do not conform," that's a choice, "to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to prove what the will of God is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." Isn't that awesome? You see, we can choose right now, here today, you and I can choose when we walk out of this church, when we get in our cars, we can choose to be spiritually mature or we can choose to be little babies. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's our choice. What you gonna choose? And that's what Jesus is saying here. He wants us to grow up. Even Paul talked about this, again, referring to himself in that same 1 Corinthians speech, but this is much later, towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. He says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Why does he put away childish things? Because he knows there's coming a day when he will sit face to face with Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, "So what'd you do, man? What'd you do when you were down there? Did you yield to me?" Well, of course, the Lord knows. But he may ask us, hey, he may ask you, "Did you yield to me? Did you walk according to my word, or did you do things your way?" Each one of us has a choice. By the way, the other thing that the Lord is telling us here, Jesus is also refuting those who will say, "I'll take what Jesus taught, but not what Paul or the others taught." What do you mean by that? Because he says, listen, there are things I want to tell you. There's more things, but you can't handle them right now. But he's going to tell us here, but the Holy Spirit I'm going to send, and he's going to tell you more things. Now, we know that Paul spoke by the Holy Spirit. All the New Testament was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But what we see happening with the First Corinthian church in chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, listen to what he says. And this is what Jesus is addressing in our verses, so that there wouldn't be any dissension, so that people would understand that there are more things that Jesus wants to tell us. But here's what happened in the First Corinthian church, chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in the mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some of Cleo's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, which Cephas is Peter. Another says, I follow Christ. In other words, I only listen to the red letters in my Bible, only the things that Jesus said. Yet Jesus is telling us here, listen, the red letters are all good. That's all my word. But there are going to be other things that I'm going to tell you, and it's going to be motivated by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be through you. Sometimes a brother or a sister will come and say, hey, Pastor Randy, you're out of line. It's up to us to say, really? Where? Show me. And then when we receive the word, we should then listen. Important. Jesus is still speaking through men and women today. Have you been born again? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you do, you have the same Holy Spirit that I do. The only difference is, how much will we yield to the Holy Spirit? How much? How much will we surrender? The more you surrender, the better your walk. Well, on and on and on it goes. The more mature, the more you understand God's word, the deeper you get into God's word. Now, hang this thought on your belt. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Let's move on. Now we move on. Hold that verse on your belt. Now we move on to the Holy Spirit's service in verse 13 through 15. However, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. Please notice, in these four verses, Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as a he or a him 10 times. I know, it was funny. We were at men's ministry Saturday morning, and someone referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. And I said, he, and they go, oh yeah, that's a common practice. Let me just say this. Can you try to begin to make it a practice to call him a him and not an it? What if I went up to you and called you an it today? How would you feel? How does it feel today? How is it? Hey, look at it. Oh, if I went up to someone and said, hey, look at it. There it goes. That would not make you feel very good, would it? Refer to the Holy Spirit as a he, as a him, because that's exactly what he is. I like the way the King James puts it. The King James refers to him as the Holy Ghost. And I like that. Why? Because when you and I think of a ghost, we think of a spirit of a person who has departed. Or prayerfully, not a demon, but you know what I'm saying? We normally think of a ghost, ooh, that's a person. So when we refer to the Holy Ghost, understand it is a person in a spiritual form. But continuing on, he says that he's going to guide us. Why? Why in the world would you and I hire a guide? Well, that's obvious. We get a guide when the territory that we're going to is foreign to us, right? I don't need a guide to get through Bullhead City. Why? I've been down 95. This is only one road. But I've been down 95 enough times. I don't need a guide. But if I went to the Grand Canyon, I would need a guide. And that's exactly what we have here. We have the Holy Spirit. He's going to take us to the Grand Canyon of truth. You see, you and I, We don't live in truth. We don't walk in truth. We may say, well, I've never lied. You're lying right there. That's a lie. We've all lied. Every single one of us have lied. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do is guide us in truth on a regular basis, in a deeper truth, in the reality of the fact that Jesus Christ is truth. Now, the reason why we need a guide is because on top of that, we are lied to every day and we buy it. What am I talking about? The media. The media lies to us every day, and we go home and we turn on that box and we listen to the lies. You need this new car. You need this makeover. Some of you, no. I'm speaking to myself. But we do, we buy it. Give me an example. I was taking a shower the other day, and I look at the shower that my wife bought, and it was apple, banana, papaya, wheat germ. I'm like thinking to myself, whoa, it was bad enough when they're putting chemicals in my food, but now they're putting food in my chemicals. And I'm like, I didn't know whether to wash my hair or make a sandwich. And I said, what is this? And she says, honey, use it. It's good. The nutrients are good for your hair. And I'm like, whoa, look, I think I'm supposed to eat the nutrients and it finds its way to my hair. Like carrots are good for my eyes, but I don't apply them directly. But we buy it. They tell us it's good. Okay, it's good for us. Putting bananas in my hair, great. And then they tell us other lies. Now that's a simple lie, and we could take that. And if we buy that lie, no big deal. But here's another lie. Pro-life, pro-choice. It's a woman's body. It's her right to choose. Well, the baby has a body too. Where's its right to choose? But let me show you where that whole pro-life, pro-choice is a lie. Right out of the pit of hell. Those same people, and I've done this before, people who rally for pro-choice, I say, do you rally against seatbelt laws? No. Isn't it my body? Shouldn't you be angry that they forced me to wear a seatbelt? It's my body. If I want to fly through the windshield, shouldn't I have the right to? But they don't fight for that, because that only involves my body only. You see, it's a lie from Satan to kill that baby, to put that life down. To say, oh God, I showed you. Listen, it's not pro-choice. There's no choice in it. Here's another one. You know, people come up to me because I'm a pastor and they ask me, Pastor, are you pro-gay? And I'm like, I'm not pro-gay or amateur gay. I didn't even know they had a league. But they want us to swallow lies. They want us to buy into what the world is doing and what Jesus is saying. No. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, that ain't right, it ain't good, don't buy it, get away, mature, grow up. Don't buy the shampoo with the bananas in it. Get chemicals, put chemicals in your hair. Save the bananas for the groceries. But in today's world, truth is relative. Whatever feels right, do it. If it works for you, it's good. Make your own truth. You're the captain of your own destiny. Well, look at the destiny of America, where we've come, the greatest nation, the most powerful nation in the world. We tell the young people self-esteem, keep the Ten Commandments out of the school, yet freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, if it's pornographic pictures in some art museum, but it's not freedom of speech to put God's word in a school, what's wrong with this country? Relativism, that's what's wrong. It's not freedom of speech. Our freedoms are being ripped from our hands. But the Holy Spirit cannot be ripped from our hearts. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. He wants to be the wing beneath our wings, yours and mine, so we can soar with truth and proclaim it in all this valley. So important. Now remember, I told you to hang on your belt. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Notice this, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak the things of Jesus. Why? Because they are interconnected. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 7. Listen to this. This they did not understand, that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, here's his words, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." Listen, he's talking about his Father. They didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. And then he says, "When they have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just as the Father has taught me." First he says, "I am he, but I'm speaking as the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Now you see that? The Father has sent Jesus, and Jesus does what the Father says. And then he says, "And when I'm lifted up, you'll realize that I am he, that I am the Father." Now he's saying, okay, just as the Father sent me, now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's only going to tell you the things that I want to tell you, and then when you get him, you'll realize that he is I. You see how cool that is? It's a circle that points, everything points back to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are one. They are God, they are truth, and we're to walk in it, that truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." So the Holy Spirit hears Jesus. Jesus hears the Father. And they are one. And I like this. "And he will tell you the things to come." Huh. He will tell me the future. Now, there are ministries that are built upon a pastor who says, "I hear from the Holy Spirit and I can tell you the future." I've had so many people tell me that they've gone to a church where they had a prophet come and he prophesied over half the church, if not all the church. And I've had these people tell me, "Oh yeah, I went up and the prophet told me that I would have a ministry of thousands." And I talked to someone else. "And a prophet told me that I was going to be on fire for God and I have a ministry of thousands." And I talked to someone else. "A prophet told me..." I'm like, "Wow, man, is this all the same prophet?" Or... And I was like, "How long ago was that?" "Well, about 20 years ago." "So what's your ministry like? What are you doing?" "Oh, nothing." It's like, okay. Let's clear this up a little bit, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy." There you go, foretelling the future. "To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All are the work of one and the same Spirit." Listen to this. This is important. "And he distributes to each of them just as he determines." Now, does that mean, brothers and sisters, that I can say, "Let me tell you the future"? Does that mean that I can go up to you if you are ill and touch you and have you be healed because I touched you? No. See, it says here, according to how the Spirit wills. That means when he wants to heal, when he wants to speak a prophecy, when he wants to do it, not when I want. That's why it so bothers me when I see people with a banner that says, "Healing ministry all week, 7 o'clock. Really? How do you do that? How do you tell the Holy Spirit when to show up, when to do what he's going to do, when it says in the Bible he will determine when he's going to give it? Big mistake. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. "For the prophecies came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." See, it wasn't by the will of man. They were moved. The Holy Spirit said, "I want you to speak a prophetic word now." I'll be honest with you. I've done that. I've spoken a prophetic word. Very few times. But I don't now walk around telling people, let me tell you your future. Let me tell you. It wasn't up to me. I didn't even know at the time that that's what I was doing. But ultimately, what does happen is I counsel people. And oftentimes, the person will not receive my counsel. And then I can go to God's word. That's the way that the Holy Spirit wants to tell us the things that are going to happen. The number one way is not by a prophetic word. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking and he's telling me there's someone in here. No, that's not. The number one way that the Holy Spirit wants to tell us about the future and what's going to happen is his word. It's his word. So I can be in a counseling session and be counseling someone and not have them receive what I'm sharing with them from the word. And then I can tell them, well, here's the thing, brother or sister. If you continue the way you're going, here's what's going to happen. And I tell them, I don't have a crystal ball. I have God's word. And I've seen it over and over and over again. God's word rings true. And if you don't obey God's word and you are a Christian, he chastens those he loves, period. So I can tell you, not because I'm prophesying, but by his word, that it's not going to end very well for you. And sometimes people get mad. Oh, who are you to tell the future? I'm not telling the future. I'm telling you what his word says. And so the number one way that God wants to reveal what's going to happen in the future is his word. Even today, as we see things in the news unfold, we can look at his word and go, whoa, wow. His word is accurate. His word is right. His word is true. Amazing. His word is 100% spot on. And he says, and along tagged with that, verse 14, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. So you know what that tells me? There should never be a sign that says Holy Spirit service. Because you know who won't show up? You know who will? First of all, you can have a big name pastor show up at a Holy Spirit service. You can have celebrities come. You can have the President of the United States come to a Holy Spirit service, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will not show up. Why? The Holy Spirit is here to testify of Christ, not of himself. The Holy Spirit is all about leading people to Jesus. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you do not want to draw attention to yourself. You want to draw attention to Jesus. To Jesus. What was interesting along those lines is someone asked me, you know, I went to do some hospital visitations and they heard about the Hagemeyer's loss and they said to me, they said, well, how, Pastor Randy, how do you encourage a family when they are suffering such a loss? And I said, well, let me tell you what I do realize. When they're suffering a loss like that, I can hug them, you know, but as soon as I release, the hug is over. That feeling, that hug, which feels so good, and I know that's comforting for the moment, but as soon as I release, the hug is done. But if I point them to Jesus, that God is faithful, that God is love, that we will all stand before the Lord, then when that hug is done, they still have the Lord. I'm temporary. He's eternal. That's how we comfort people, by giving them Christ, not by giving them Pastor Randy. That's a losing proposition right there. But to give them Christ, that's a win-win proposition. Do you realize how blessed we are? Listen, we are filthy sinners and we get saved. First of all, that's amazing. But on top of that, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Woo! Awesome. But then on top of that, the Holy Spirit equips us for good works. Wow. But then it doesn't stop there. We go to heaven and we get rewards for the good works that he did through us that I had no part of. I get the reward. Dude, this is an awesome deal. Salvation, Holy Spirit, reward for the works that the Holy Spirit did through me that I couldn't have done without him. And I get the reward. You get the reward. There is no other deal on the earth, on this planet, in life, in existence, that compares to what God is offering to us as a free gift, and yet people say, nah, I don't want it. Is that not mind-blowing? That people would reject such an incredible offer? But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to offer the Holy Spirit that we have. For he will take what is mine and declare to you. See, the Holy Spirit, his whole ministry is to reveal Christ. He does it in many different ways. Yes, this is true, and we read all those ways. The many different gifts he uses to accomplish this in your life, in my life. But the purpose is always the same. To declare Jesus. To point to Jesus. To lift up Jesus. Because he did it all. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the very Word of God. And the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God so that it would point to Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, you can go into a crowd and talk about Buddha, and everything's cool. Talk about Muhammad. It's all right. Confucius. Oh, cool. Gandhi. Awesome. Mention the name of Jesus and people get offended. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven, on earth, that will scatter a room faster than Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants to be in you so that your mouth will open and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Be like, you know what? I'm like that annoying neighborhood dog at night that just says, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You don't want to throw a shoe at me. That's okay. I'll chew on the shoe and then I'll start yelling Jesus again. More than that, he says he'll testify of everything in me. Colossians 1, verse 15. Jesus is his son. The son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself the things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I think you might have missed what that is saying. That is saying that he created everything, powers, principalities, authorities, and yet, though he created everything by his very hand, he also paid for it with his blood. For he will take what is mine and declare to you, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare to you. See, we all were created by Christ. He gave us the breath we breathe. And yet, he paid for us. Think about this. There's a cool story that illustrates this. This boy, his name is Tom, he carried his new boat down to the edge of the river, a boat that he crafted with his own hands. He put together, glued every piece, and he carried it to the edge of the river, and he carefully placed it in the water, slowly letting out a string. And how smoothly his beautiful boat sailed. Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. Suddenly, a strong current caught the boat. He tried to pull it back, but the little string broke, underestimating the power of the current and the wind. The little boy's boat raced downstream. Tom ran alongside the sandy shore as fast as he could, but the little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon, he searched for his boat. Finally, when it was too dark to look any longer, Tom sadly went home. A few days later, on his way home from school, Tom spotted that boat in the store window. When he got closer, he could see, sure enough, that's my boat. So he ran in to the store manager, sir, that's my boat in the window. I made it with my hands. The store manager said, sorry, sir, son, but someone else brought that in this morning. If you want it, you're going to have to buy it. Tom ran home frantically. He broke his piggy bank and he counted all his money, and he barely, with everything he had been saving, he had enough. When he reached the store, he rushed to the counter and he says, "Here's the money for the boat." When he left the store, he hugged that little boat and said, "You are twice mine. First I made you and then I bought you." See, you're that precious to Jesus. He gave his all. He made you in your weakness. He made you in your imperfections. He made you with all your shortcomings. He made you with all your silliness and immaturity. He made you. And then he said, "But now I have to buy you." And that's okay, because you are that precious to me. And he paid the ultimate price. He gave his all. Everything he had, he laid it on the line. And he said, "If you would only just receive it. If you would take it as a payment for your life that I created." And the cool part is, we get the Holy Spirit as a receipt. God says, as a store owner, God says, "Yes, I accept what Jesus paid, and here's the Holy Spirit to prove that it's acceptable, that it's the right amount." And as Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Tetelestai," which means paid in full, it is finished. It is complete. It is done. And he did it for you. That is amazing. That is incredible. This week, my favorite verse has reignited in my heart. And I want you to think about this. And I shared it at the memorial yesterday. But man, this verse just keeps ringing in my heart, ringing in my heart. And I want to share with you Zephaniah 3:17. Listen to this. "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." He's going to say, "I made you and I bought you. You're mine." He'll wrap his love around you and hold you close to his heart. What a deal. What an incredible deal. Amazing. I want to close with the words of a song by Crystal Lewis. It says, "Come as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come and receive. Come and live forever. Life everlasting. Strength for today. Taste the living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are." Let's pray.